Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest in the studio one of your staff at Pruce Pets, who happens to be a famous guy now in the Lansing area, our Guinness Book of World Records future holder of the record, Sean Murphy. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
It's good to be back. How are you doing?
Oh, it's our pleasure. You sound much clearer without the cockroaches in your mouth.
It makes it a lot easier to talk without them.
I would just imagine it does. And the reason you're here today is because working in the small animal section at Pruce, you work with rabbits and guinea pigs on a regular basis.
Yep.
So, well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is that you guys offer at Pruce's and what makes them such great pets?
Well, at Pruce, we always try to get across having the perfect home for the animal and then making sure that, you know, it's a give-and-take relationship that's perfect for you and it's perfect for the animal. With guinea pigs and rabbits, they end up being one of our staple animals, both of them, because they make such great pets. Rabbits in particular, depending on the breed, can be very, very compassionate animals, very similar to rats and dogs in the way that they want to interact with you and that they want you to take them out. They want you to pay attention to them. Guinea pigs are one of those animals that in the wild, they're food for everything. So at first, they're kind of skittish, but they're a great animal because once you start working with them, they also become very dependent upon you. In this case, you know, especially for little kids who want to be always handling an animal, both the guinea pig and the rabbit end up being great for them because they become companions for each other.
And one thing I kind of think about with guinea pigs is they have those short little legs. And so for the younger of the child, unless you have more assertive supervision with a rabbit, a guinea pig can make a really fantastic choice.
Yeah, right? Usually guinea pigs, one of the first pets we'll recommend for at least kids about ages 6 or 7 or older. With rabbits, we try to gear it more towards about 9 or 10. And it's just because of the length of the nails on a rabbit, along with how powerful their kick is. It's harder for, you know, someone who's 5 or 6 years old to handle a 5-pound rabbit that when they want to get away, they're going to kick hard and they're going to scratch.
So, yeah, age is an important issue. And I was just curious, Sean, maybe let them have a better colorful understanding of guinea pigs and the variety of guinea pigs that we actually carry, just so they can appreciate, you know, how it's not just a guinea pig.
Well, the great thing with guinea pigs is that variety of breed. When most people think of guinea pigs, they just think of the short, soft-haired guinea pigs. But one of our bigger sellers that people tend to love is the Peruvian guinea pig, whose hair gets over 6 inches long and drapes down to the ground. They're unbelievably cute looking, which is appealing to most people, but especially for kids who like to groom the guinea pig, that gives them something to do, and it also socializes that pig. And then there's breeds like the teddy bears who have short, fuzzy hair and just kind of, I mean, literally look like a teddy bear, and they're kind of fun to handle. You get the Cresteds who their hair looks like Friar Tuck, where it kind of pans out across their forehead. And then we have people who are crossbreeding all of them. So it's kind of fun where not only can you look for that pet that's going to be perfect for a little kid, but they can choose something based on the look and be like, you know, I want that long-haired one where this is a living Barbie doll that I can pet its hair and I can groom it. Or I can get this fuzzy little thing that looks like a Brillo pad with legs running around. You know, there's a cool variety, and not just like with the type of hair, but, you know, also with the color patterns on them. A lot of people are very particular that they only want a black or they don't want a brown or they want a tricolor. And we try to offer that variety as much as possible, being that we breed some of our own and we have a multitude of customers who also breed for us.
Interesting. And when it comes to food, when you think of rabbits, you think of Bugs Bunny and you think of carrots. Is that really what they eat, or is there a rabbit chow that's out there tend to eat?
There's so many different diets out there. And the one thing that we like to do at the store is to try to go as natural as possible. Most rabbits are going to be a grass and kind of like a grazing, like hay eater type. So we offer, you know, your typical pellets that are made up of, you know, alfalfa and timothy hays and then thrown in like random nutrients. We also offer a variety of timothy, orchard grass, alfalfa hay mixed into it. Now, as far as the carrot thing goes, there's always been that thing that rabbits see well because of the carrots, and that's kind of misfounded. Actually, the carrot tops are better. The darker the leafy green is, usually the better it's going to be for an animal, the more nutrients it's going to hold. The one thing you want to be careful is the type of veggie. You know, when you get into like the spinach and broccoli families, you're looking at like, I believe it's higher phosphorus contents, which you kind of want to stay away from. But if you go with like collard, mustard and turnip greens, radish greens, dandelion green, clover, all those things are really good for a rabbit. What you want to watch out for is the age that you're giving them to a rabbit. As far as domesticated rabbits go, you usually want to wait till about anywhere between 4 and 6 months old before you really start giving them a lot of veggie. Their digestive process works so quickly that the amount of water in those veggies can actually flush their system out, you know, basically give them diarrhea, but then they're dehydrated and you can run into a lot of health issues because of that. So you build them up on a dry grass diet and pellet diet first, let their digestive tract get to where it needs to be, and then as they get older, start incorporating those things.
And that's one of the things that I like that Michael is the manager of the he's been on the show before, but Michael's the manager of the small animal and reptile area. And one thing that we've learned over the years that he really is adamant about is just proper, essentially, quarantine. Or talk a little bit about that. Yeah. You know, no rabbit comes in and goes out the door. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, we quarantine every animal that comes in, and particularly with rabbits. We have a trained vet from Cedar Creek Veterinary Clinic that comes in once a week. They'll grab a stool sample from the animal as soon as they can when we get the animal in. We send that in for testing, and we just wait for the results. And during that time, the animal is on a quarantine from then where, you know, we're giving them foods that we believe are going to help them out the best, you know, like I said, the hay diet and the pellet diet. And then if they come back with something, we'll quarantine that animal as long as we need to in order to get it cleared through a health check. Now, what that means is, say they have coccidia, which is a parasite commonly found in them, we'll treat them for that parasite for however long the vet says we need to treat them for. And then once we have gone through that medication, we then get a stool sample sent back to the vet again. They'll check it again. Now, if it comes back clear, cool, we can put the animal up for sale. But if not, we will quarantine it again until we have completely gotten through whatever is wrong with that animal.
And once again, Rick, that policy of holding the animals to make sure that they're healthy is really an important part of the experience that the folks have when they take a pet home from Bruce.
Right, right. And one of the things you think about is a lot of times these rabbits are kept in very healthy conditions at the rabbit breeding area, but they may not necessarily be as concerned about temperatures. And we're more concerned about temperatures. And the reason we're more concerned about temperatures is that we're bringing them in as a pet, you know, just your child, you're interacting with this animal in like a very climate controlled 71, 72, 74 degrees. And that's a different temperature possibly than the rabbit was at a breeding facility for good, you know, good cause. It isn't necessarily helpful for them to be necessarily that warm, but it actually is the environment we're going to keep them in. It's not harmful at all. But the idea is that they're going to be in that kind of household temperature for a little while and getting over that stress in our protective care and getting a couple stool samples and stuff. And that's what I'm really excited, especially with rabbits.
Yeah. Well, now, Rick and Sean, I have a question for you. You talked a little bit about the food. Talk with me about what kind of an environment is appropriate to keep them in. I mean, what kind of a space do you keep a rabbit in? And also, talk with me about what kind of an exercise regimen do they need? I mean, are they like dogs where they need to run around every day? Or are they generally a pretty sedentary animal that doesn't really need that much? Talk a little bit about both those things.
Well, that's a good question that a lot of people don't realize. You know, people come in, they'll get something like a rabbit, and they'll see, okay, it's like the size of a football. Well, then they think that they can fit it in a cage that's just slightly larger than that. Rabbits are a very, very active animal that need a lot of exercise. And just like us, if they're not getting that exercise, they run into a multitude of health issues and then muscle and bone issues as well. We'll normally recommend for a rabbit that's maybe 3 or 4 pounds having a cage that usually somewhere around 36 to 48 inches long and about 24 inches wide to about 18 inches high. And that's at a minimum. That'd be the smallest cage that you want them in. What we normally go with that too is when you're home, that animal should be out of the cage. They are and can be a very interactive animal and very social. To get them that way, along with getting them their exercise, it should be that when you have the chance, open up the cage door and let the animal out. Let them socialize with everybody, get their exercise, and let them make your house their territory as well. And then, you know, obviously when you go to bed or you leave the house, you get them back in the cage. The rabbit can start getting used to that whole ritual of, hey, I come home, I should be coming out. I've seen it even at the store when I open up in the morning. As soon as I flick those lights on, I have rabbits basically pounding the cage doors because they know I'm going to be going in there to change the litter boxes, to give them food, give them hay, and they expect that out of me. So it's almost like a little kid needing you in a way. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, I've had them just hop out my arms and just sit there. I mean, literally, that's all they want is that contact when you come in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what about housebreaking? Because I'd imagine that one of the reasons people might not want to let them loose is if the rabbit isn't housebroken. How easy is that to do?
It's pretty easy. It's a lot like training a cat. When the animal goes to the bathroom, pick up their waste, put it in a litter box. What we like to do at the store, too, is get them started out from the minute they come in doing that. And we'll do something like hang their hay manger up above their litter box. So if they're eating and going to the bathroom at the same time, it's just landing in one spot. They start to realize that, oh, hey, this is where all my waste is. It should be here. I don't want to be going in other places. Now, with rabbits, because they go to the bathroom so much, inevitably, you are going to find pellets here and there. What I've always liked about rabbits is their pellets are hard and they're not leaky or anything like that. They don't really happen to cause issues with staining your carpet. So if you find a pellet, you can just pick it up, throw it away, or throw it in the litter box. What a lot of people have issues with is them marking territory once they hit sexual maturity. Being responsible pet owners, we always like to recommend that you get your animal fixed. It's safer for the animal. It stops any unwanted breeding and overpopulation. And we've even found that with certain animals, it actually helps prolong their life by having them fixed.
I know the female rabbits, they spray bad. But more importantly, they want to reproduce a lot. And if you don't let them do that and they still have the organs to do that, it can cause some related health issues associated with that animal. When you actually have it spayed, it changes its behavior.
And we've noticed they get very ornery. Like the females will be more likely to bite at you or scratch just because they're wound up basically with those hormones. And the males can get that way too, but we've noticed it more of females.
Now on the flip side, and I think this is what's good about the show, is I want to kind of colorfully, you know, say that, you know, a rabbit and a guinea pig may look similar, but they're a whole different pet. You know, where a rabbit with those really long legs, we want to get them out and exercise, and it's not that we don't want to do that with guinea pigs, but what we can do with a guinea pig is just have like a small little caged off area. Mm-hmm. That could be 4x4, 6x6, maybe a couple ramps, some little toys and treats and stuff, and just do that on a regular, consistent basis. It's just going to be a more manageable idea. It's better for a younger child, you know. So one can be a very interactive pet like a rabbit, but then something like a guinea pig can be a more functional pet for a different lifestyle, if you follow what I'm saying. If you're mm-hmm. not after that kind of relationship, you know, then you don't have to have that relationship. But the rabbit wants that relationship, and if you're not willing to give it, we just got to walk another direction.
Right.
Yeah, I've always recommended people to basically you build like a kind of like a circus ring almost for like a guinea pig. You know, give it that small caged off area and give it obstacles. Things to crawl in, go underneath and everything. That's kind of what their natural habitat is anyway.
Yeah. And they are the masters of food, so they will do anything. You know, they are like me. I think that's why I connect so well with guinea pigs. I'll do anything for food. So, and guinea pigs are great. They're the ones that you know about, that when you open the refrigerator door, I don't know how they figure it out. I think it's maybe instinctual. I don't know. But it wouldn't seem logical. But some reason, when they hear that refrigerator door open, they know it and they just start squeaking like mad. So, you know, they make a fantastic pet as well.
Well, good advice on how to care for them. And I'm glad to hear about getting the rabbits fixed, because if you don't, they'll just breed like rabbits. So bottom line is great advice. We've been talking this morning with Sean Murphy from the Small Animal Department at Pruce Pets. Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue our conversation and talk with a rescue operation for wildlife right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.